Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Of all the parts of Governor Hogan's proposed state budget that Democrats in the legislature may choose to fight, battle lines are being drawn most sharply over the spending levels for public grade school. Public K through 12 grade schools in the state will get about $144 million less than they thought they were getting next year. We've been talking with advocates on both sides about how these spending levels were reached, and we've asked Roy Myers, who teaches political science and public policy at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC, back to the show to walk us through education funding. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheila.
Very briefly, because we have a lot to cover, let's define terms. Many education advocates are calling these cuts because spending, as I said, will be $144 million less than they had expected. But Governor Hogan's team says you can't call it a cut because $16 million more will be spent than last year, actually $45 million when you count in the pensions. What language do you use?
I use both.
What should we use in this conversation? I'm comfortable with calling them cuts.
Sure, let's call them cuts from what current law would have spent if the law, you know, isn't changed.
So noted. Okay. Each year, school funding increases to accommodate more students and changes in the cost of education of educating young people. Did most of the cuts from projected spending come from projected increases or from other things?
Well, there are two kinds of cuts in the governor's budget for all the counties and the city across the board. One cut is the cut in the geographic cost of education index, which under law he is allowed to make in his budget. And that's about $68 million in savings.
And we're going to talk more about that that geographic adjustment.
And the other savings, about $76 million, is in proposed changes to the law that allocates funds by formula to the 24 local school boards. And the legislature will have to agree to those cuts for those to go into place.
And we're going to talk more about that, too. Let's focus in on this geographic adjustment called the Geographic Cost of Education Index, or GCEI. It's part of the 2002 funding plan to improve education that's called the Thornton Education Funds. What goes into this formula? What does it try to capture and why?
Well, you know, since you mentioned Thornton, let's go back to that. So in 2002, the state decided to improve its contribution to local school board spending in order to give better equality in the educational opportunities given to students. So that in that law, it basically allocated about 75% of the school funding inversely to wealth, that is, the poorer counties got more money. But what that meant is that Montgomery County was going to get very little money, and one reason why the Geographic Cost of Education Index was put in the law was to compensate Montgomery County and other rich counties for the higher cost of living.
And also the higher cost of running a school system.
Correct, because they have to pay more to their teachers. So in that case, though, it was the political compromise was to allow the governor to decide whether to fully fund that law. And actually, in the first couple of years, it wasn't fully funded. And then later, it was fully funded. And now the governor is proposing to only fund half of it.
Our producer, Jonna McCone, spoke last week with Bebe Verdery, the ACLU's education reform director, about her concerns.
We see $144 million cut across the board in the state, and every school system will be affected. The cuts are disproportionate to Baltimore City, which will suffer $35.5 million cut below the current year funding. We're not talking about just saying this is funding that they should have gotten that they are not getting. We're talking about a bottom line that is $35.5 million below what they have today. And enrollment has gone up. Their enrollment is not shrinking to accommodate that cut.
You're shaking your head.
Well, if you look at the cuts in the governor's budget, the cuts to Baltimore City is only about $10 million.
In the geographic adjustment?
In total funds. Most of since she mentioned that the city was losing money, Most of the city's loss in funding is because of the way the existing formula is set up. There was a very nice article in the Baltimore Sun this weekend by Luke Broadwater about the effect of tax breaks given by the city to property development. which means that not as much money is coming to the city to pay for its schools. And the fact that you have greater property development in the city has increased the wealth in the city.
Right. And WIPR's freelance reporter Mary Wiltenberg actually spoke with David Brinkley, who former okay. Senator David Brinkley, who is Governor Hogan's nominee to be budget secretary. And he addressed just this about the GCI. She asked him why it was cut and its disproportionate impact on Baltimore. Here's what
he
said.
The fact is that when we looked at the menu of our options for education funding going forward, Baltimore City incurred a reduction regardless of which option was incurred. It did go to the underlying wealth calculation, which, like it or not, Baltimore City has been the beneficiary of some of the downtown revitalization. The state average wealth went up about 1.2%. Baltimore City's went up 3.5%. So that had a significant impact. And then there also were decreased enrollments in the free and reduced meals programs. And in fact, when we looked at all the choices that we had, we chose the formula. This is the 50% GCEI. We chose the one that had the least impact on the city and also across the state.
That was the voice of probable budget director David Brinkley here on Maryland Morning 881. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm here with Roy Myers of UMBC, professor of public policy and political science. And we're talking about education cuts in the state budget. A lot of people in Baltimore would be surprised to hear that Baltimore is richer.
Yes, the way the formula works is it's not just for the GCEI, but for the so-called foundation amounts. It's actually quite a complicated formula, and it bases the allocation of funds on wealth of each jurisdiction relative to the other jurisdictions. So when property values in the city increase relative to property values in other jurisdictions, Baltimore City is destined to get less money. So actually, even before the governor's budget was proposed, Baltimore City lost about $25 million because of the way that formula was designed. Now, you know, sometimes when you have these formulas written in order to distribute money across the states and they produce unexpected results, the legislature steps in and rewrites the formula because that formula is designed not simply to respond to their perceptions of need in terms of what kids deserve to have a quality education, but also which counties get how much money. In other words, to the extent that Baltimore City and its advocates are powerful enough to argue that they in fact are getting hurt by the formula disproportionately, they may be able to rewrite that formula and minimize the effect of the growing relative wealth in a city on how much money they would get.
And of course, part of what Governor Hogan is proposing, in addition to the geographic adjustment that I've been asking you about, is he's proposing to cap another part of the funding formula that accounts for inflation. Let's hear again from Bebe Verdery of the ACLU. She argues there's nothing left for school systems to cut.
School systems across Maryland have been held flat in their funding per pupil for 5 to 7 years now because of the recession. So schools are already receiving hundreds of millions of dollars less than our education formula says is needed to educate our children properly. So I think the mantra that there is some kind of fat in school budgets really needs to be disputed. And just as one example, the state itself has documented how much funding each child needs under the education funding formula. And Baltimore City Schools right now is getting $2,000 less than the state says is necessary to educate its students properly. If you add another $500 cut from the governor's budget to that, then City Schools is getting $2,500 less than they ought to be getting. So I think any myth of school budgets being too large needs to be disputed.
And as you know, education advocates say that the spending levels Governor Hogan is proposing will lead to cuts in the number of teachers, in school maintenance, enrichment programs, a lot of things. You talked about often, if the formula is not working the way the legislature expected, they rejigger it. Do you see that happening in negotiations between Governor Hogan and the Democratic legislature?
Over the short term, one of the biggest uncertainties is what the March revenue estimates will show. Given that the jobs report of last week was very, very strong, it's possible that some extra money will show up and it will allow them to reach a temporary compromise on this.
In other words, we could expect more in tax revenues than we're currently projecting.
Over the longer run, your representative from the ACLU was correct that Baltimore City's current level of funding is below what the state previously said was the amount necessary for a so-called adequate education. There's an ongoing study process to redetermine what that target level should be, which will be by the end of 2016. So when the governor has proposed capping the so-called foundation funding for education at 1% growth, and if adequacy were to show a larger amount of funding needed, then they're going to have a very serious negotiation in the context of when other parts of the state budget are being held flat. For example, state employees are not getting, they're actually getting a pay cut. Other state agencies are getting 2% cuts in their operating budgets, so it will not be an easy negotiation.
We are flat out of time. I really appreciate your walking us through this, Roy.
Thanks.
Roy Myers, Professor of Political Science, Affiliate Professor of Public Policy at UMBC. More information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, whose history do we tell? Stay with us on 88.1.